Broadcasting live from the 2018 Los Angeles Religious Education Conference in Anaheim, California. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Here's Jerry and Debbie.
Great to have you with us. Thanks for tuning in. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, as you just heard. And yes, we are live on the floor at the annual Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. Jerry Escher with Debbie Giorgiani.
Okay, this is the time of year where I get overwhelmed, Jerry, because I see all the religious and the priests walking by. And so it's probably part of my nature that I just get distracted because I always want to say, hi, Father, hi, sister. You know, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, well, everybody's so friendly, and it is just a wonderful crowd here. They expect about 40,000 people over the course of the weekend. For those who don't know what the Congress is, it is it's an annual gathering to highlight religious education.
That's right.
And, Debbie, they have talks and presenters and music for young people, and yep. We're on the exhibit floor where I would guess there are hundreds of exhibits here, including EWTN.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great for the religious education leaders in the different dioceses to come and get the necessary resources so they can start their year off right and really form the young minds in the faith. But, Jerry, we're sitting underneath the, I guess you would call it the circular chandelier, and has Mother Angelica's beautiful face on it, and you can see the EWTN booth all the way from the parking lot. I love that.
Yeah, it really is prominently displayed, and we thank God for the opportunity to be here. And we thank you, our listeners. Thanks to the show team. Rich Jesse, our producer, Jeff Burson, who does social media, Matt Gabinski, who screens your calls. And yes, we do have a topic today, and Debbie, I think really it kind of, in many ways, it ties in with the atmosphere and the event here, because this is about religious education, forming minds and hearts, especially young people.
That's right.
And we see in our world today an astonishing level of bullying that still exists, and that's what we want our listeners to weigh in on today.
Yeah, we're getting behind what causes the bullies to actually go out there and manifest that kind of negative behavior to others. So we're getting behind what is causing the bullies to bully. That's what we're talking about today on Take Two. We want to hear from you. Now, we're not trying to out you. If you were a bully in junior high or high school, you know, it's okay. We want to just really learn and grow from it. So here's the number, 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please call in and share with us your experience about bullying. Maybe you were bullied through school. Maybe it really took a toll on you going into the future. Maybe you never got over it. Maybe you thought, you know what, it was no big deal. I just shrugged it off, and I sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never hurt me. Maybe you thought that way. We want to hear from you. This is important. Let's have a real deep conversation, because we all agree, Jerry, we need to stop the bullying.
Yeah, the number, while lines are open right now, and they do fill up fast on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, it's 1-833-288-EWTN. I really want to hear from some of you. I remember, Debbie, I'll raise my hand. I was a bully, and I got bullied.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I got punched by kids in school. I ran and tackled a kid I was upset with one day. I don't know if you call that bullying. That's just, taking out your aggression with your classmates sometimes.
You think it was just like a guy thing?
I think, bullying was, I think it was part of, life and a rite of passage. Not to say that it was right, but as parents today, how is the experience different from maybe when you were in school, or maybe as an adult? You see adult bullying. We see that. Mm-hmm. Or do you have children who come home from school? Mom, Dad, Johnny's picking on me. Susie won't leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of pulling your hair out going, my goodness, I don't want my child to be a victim of this.
Right. Well, I remember an instance. I don't know if you would call it bullying, but I remember my son, my second son, coming home from school, and he would constantly have bruises on his lower parts from his knees down. He would constantly have bruises. And they had these things, Jerry, where they set up the classroom in little, quads, so everybody was kind of face-to-face, the desks. And I said to him one day, I said, why are you coming home with all these bruises? And he goes, I don't want to talk about it. I said, well, Somebody's kicking you. You know, somebody's constantly kicking you. It turns out that the kid in this little, you know, the way the desk setup was, constantly would kick my son repeatedly all day long. He came home with bruises. And it was so obvious. When I walked into the classroom, I could tell because the kid sitting across from him couldn't stop moving, and he was shaking his legs and kicking. And I thought, well, there's your problem right there. And I said to the teacher, I said, did you not notice that? And she says, well, then, you know, kids will be kids. Now, no disrespect to the teacher, because I love teachers, but I was a little shocked that we weren't more on top of it, saying, you know, it's kind of obvious. I walked right in and picked up on it. And I'm just wondering how often that happens with our families and our children, and are we noticing it, and are we saying something to the authorities, and are the authorities doing something about it? Because we know that kids are oftentimes pushed to serious levels of depression, Jerry, through bullying.
And they often don't say anything about it. You know, that's the thing. They kind of keep this within themselves. And so we just wanted to have a frank and open and hopefully informative discussion about this. Again, while lines are open, we have a couple lines still open, 833-288-3986. Behind the bullies. Debbie's got some interesting statistics and data that you have collected. But I also want to put this out there. You know, how has maybe bullying been made more possible? You know, how has it maybe become more widespread because of technology?
Oh, okay.
You know, we have social media. How many of our young people have been cyberbullied? You know, which, Debbie, that was not around when you and I were in school.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically had the face-to-face, you know, the playground bullying or walking home from school. You get off the bus, you're a block from your house. These were the kind of, you know, traditional environments in which bullying took place. And now anybody, any age, can be the bully or be the victim of bullying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'd like to hear what people think about that.
Well, let's get into cyberbullying because, Jerry, I think it's very important. Now that has stepped up to even a greater degree of, I think that could be very dangerous because they're hiding behind that. And when, in the old days, if you will, when we're bullying, like you said, you knew who the bullier was, right? But in cyberbullying, you may not know. It could be a group of people. It could be all, and reputations are being ruined, and it's really devastating, has devastating effects on our youth. I really think we should get into cyberbullying. So if you've been a victim of that or you know of that, please call in. Share with us. We want to really make this a show that we can all make a difference, and we can change a little bit about ourselves. We can learn. We can grow, and we can go out there into the world and start to educate people to stop this, what's happening to our children. 1-833-288-3986.
Okay. Did you you want to roll a break and get to calls, or did you want to share?
Can I share just a little bit?
Yeah. Debbie was sharing this with me on the way from the hotel to the convention center today. Some very fascinating, what are they, reasons, I guess, why people bully?
Yeah, they did a study on different types of kids that bully and what's the reason behind it. And they even asked bullies why they do it. And this is going to be fascinating. Towards the end of the show, I'll share that. But here's the beginning, just a little snippet of what we've learned. It's understanding how this aggressive behavior, how it happens. And a common reason that a kid is a bully is because he or she lacks attention from a parent at home and possibly can lash out at others for attention. This can include neglected children, children of divorced parents, children with parents under the regular influence of drugs and alcohol. It goes on and on. It also could talk about having an older sibling that bullies, and so then that younger sibling goes out and bullies somebody that they can control and manipulate. It's very interesting. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it sounds like this begins in the home, and it's a learned behavior. And so maybe this is where we need to start and try to maybe think about what's going on in our homes when we send our kids out there into the school system. So that's a little bit of it. We're going to share more of it the rest of the show.
Yeah, that's the tip of the iceberg there on what Debbie has. 833-288-EWTN, getting behind bullying today. What's your take on this?
You're listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, broadcasting live from the 2018 Los Angeles Religious Education Conference on EWTN Radio.
This week on EWTN On Location, the 2017 EWTN Catholic Radio Conference comes to EWTN Television featuring Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Larry Richards, Tompkin and Blaze, the EWTN Choir, Dr. David Anders, EWTN Radio Affiliates, and more. It's an hour of highlights from the Catholic Radio event of the year. Join us for EWTN On Location tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
The eyes have it, but unfortunately, when it comes to technology, not in a good way. I'm Teresa Tamio with another Media Minute here on EWTN. Are you on your computer or smartphone a great deal, noticing things such as dry eyes and blurred vision? You may be suffering from digital eye strain. Dr. Jean Marie Davis at Alcon US Vision Care, which did a survey on this recently, says some time away from those electronics could solve the problem.
This could be a full break. Whether it's a full afternoon that you walk away from all your devices or a full weekend, but it's essentially just taking some specific intentional time away from your technology.
The survey finding that 51% of U.S. respondents spending more than 4 hours per day watching TV and that 15% use their smartphone for 8 hours or more a day. It indicated that even regular weekly use of a device can be a problem for some people. I'm Teresa Tamio with another Media Minute here on EWTN.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is live from the 2018 Los Angeles Religious Education Conference on EWTN Radio.
Yes, we are live here on the convention floor. And I just found out from Tom Price, he knows everything. He's so brilliant. Tom just said that this is the largest gathering, Jerry, of U.S. Catholics. Can you believe it? Of Catholics in the U.S.? I can't believe it. Largest gathering.
Oh, I could easily believe it when we arrived in traffic this morning.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
you waited in line for a parking spot.
Do you have to go to confession after the line on the church?
Actually, I don't. I was patient
this
morning.
You were patient.
Yeah.
I saw you praying.
I said, Hail Mary, full of grace, help us find a parking place.
And she helped
us. And she did, yeah.
I know.
Well, we got a lot of calls to get to. Debbie has more information that her research has uncovered on this, but we're getting behind bullying today. You know, it's astonishing today, Debbie. Our schools are just so embracing of tolerance and diversity and, you know, not judging anybody and teaching kids all of these values and so forth, which are all great, and yet we still have things like bullying going on, cyberbullying, actual physical bullying, and it happens among adults, too. So
yes.
We want to hear your take on this today. 833-288-EWTN.
Okay, Eddie's been waiting so patiently and is first up in Erie, Pennsylvania, on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Eddie. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Great, Eddie. Good to have you with us.
When I was young, first grade, there was always rivalry, you know, athletic rivalry. One time I lunged and I ended up with a slight concussion. And then we moved on and to the East Coast and Jersey, and I used to get like slammed around a lot and hope one of my so-called friends would protect me. Never mentioned it to the family, and time went on. It was a time when I thought that was the world, that was the end of it, you know, that was everything there ever was. Well, it's a shame to be a bully. But anyway, I was just wondering how you could tell, you know, they need to tell the teacher, you know, they need not to be afraid, you know.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
They need to tell the family.
Yeah, Eddie, we can hear it, obviously, in your emotion that this is something that impacted you, not only when you were younger.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right here.
You're doing okay?
I just wanted to let you know that, you know, that the child needs to be able to tell someone, you know. And they have to listen.
Right. And, Debbie, I'm curious, you know, and as you were uncovering some of the information you found out, mm-hmm. do young people hesitate to say something maybe out of fear of retaliation
well,
or anything
yeah, that,
like that?
But that's exactly why when I was sharing at the beginning my little minor episode with my son, he didn't want to tell me that the kid was kicking him because he didn't want me to go in and start something and because he thought it would get worse. He thought that it would escalate into something. So I think there is a real, Eddie, I agree with you, there's a real strong sense of fear that stops our young folks and even adults from speaking out because they don't want it to happen. Who wants to have more pain inflicted on them? So, of course, that fear is going to lead. And I agree with you, Eddie, but I think the more we expose this, the more we get behind what is causing the bullying, then we can diffuse it and deflate it, I think. What do you think about that?
Well, the thing is, that's the point. The fear of getting, you know, things just getting even worse than they were, you know. And that can go on for years, you know. Nobody saying anything.
Yeah.
So you have to talk to your children and, you know, find out like you did with your son, Deborah, you know, and you say, hey, look, you know, he's being kicked every day. I mean, what's your problem here, you know? Are you blind or something, you know? I want this stopped, you know, and because the child won't always say anything, you know what I mean? But you were a good mother and you know,
aww,
you stepped in. So.
Thanks. I tried. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, you can.
Bless you for that comment, Eddie. And I would say there's another element here, too, and that is what do young people want, even adults, but young people, Debbie, what do they want more than anything else as they're growing up?
Acceptance.
They don't want to be seen as the snitch. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be seen as the weak
tattletale.
One. Tattletale. You know, so this is another reason why they may just clam up and tolerate this, you know, and it can be devastating
right.
in some cases. So thanks, Eddie. God
Thank
bless you.
Thank you, Eddie.
We appreciate that. Sylvia is next in Lubbock, Texas, tuned into Sirius XM 130, has Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Sylvia. We're glad that you called. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hi.
Yeah.
I really appreciate y'all's radio. It really helps out every morning for me.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. I do want to touch on, I also have my children. I have rules that I apply to my children. I'm Catholic, baby Catholic. All my life, I baptized my children. They were birthed. I do instill in my children three rules. Number one, do not ever put yourself down. You are special in God's eyes, and you're special in mine. Do not ever allow anyone to hurt your heart because you're special. Now, number two, if you ever have a question about life, about anything, please ask someone. Don't just stay in doubt. Ask me or ask the church, but clearly ask someone. And third, to make sure that they do something nice for someone. And you have to teach the child how to do this by letting them know. Say, thank you. I open the door for someone. But that itself is giving to someone else and teaching them that. With that, when I sent them to school and they're around other people, I did notice that my kids are being picked on. I didn't find out until my youngest one told me when she was 14. Her hair was pulled. They told her she was skinny. They told her she was ugly. She's very beautiful. But they insulted her all the time that she was there. The teachers there are pretty biased here in Lubbock. Some of them are. And they will only initiate to help some of the kids. I hope the teachers understand that children understand these things. And some kids will pick it up, too, if the teachers are biased, and they'll be biased to other children. I've seen this, you know, firsthand when I try to explain to a teacher what's happening, and they don't have the answers. And I do believe that my daughter, when she said that she told the teacher, it was because the teacher chose to look away. I do understand the classroom is really hard to handle, but those people that they're handling are children and real-life people of our new generation. And they had to be molded. Just like they're molded at home, they have to be molded there too. And we entrust that in the teachers. We have to know it's our obligation as parents to guard our children no matter where they're at, and to keep them in prayer. I homeschooled my child because it became hard when no one was doing anything to protect my child. I don't find that a hard thing to do because she graduated at 17 from high school, and now she's 21. And an engineer in computer science. So I hope that helps people out there to understand how much your child needs you. You know, they're going to need you until they're able to do things on their own. And us parents have to be there to make sure we do watch over our children, even from other people that don't understand life the way you're understanding it. And I think that is what we're facing right now, is that other people don't understand this either.
Wow, Sylvia, that was a very insightful take. Thank you so much for sharing that. I've got a couple things, and then Debbie might as well. I want to say, you know, I think you're right, and you know, God bless teachers. I would never.
It's
one
hard.
Of the last things
it's
I would do is go into teaching today, especially because of the challenges. And really, when you think about it, Sylvia, you know this, Debbie, you know this. When a parent sends a child off to school, that teacher, Debbie, those teachers are like substitute parents in a sense.
That's exactly
and
right.
And the parents are, of course, the primary educators and formators of their kids. But if they work or whatever and their kids go to school, then the teachers have that responsibility. And, Debbie, bless the hearts of all those teachers who understand that and take it seriously. How many callers do we get to the show who are teachers?
Oh, yeah.
And they are just pouring themselves out for this. But
absolutely.
I think Sylvia is right. It's maybe just a good reminder for all of us, especially those who are involved in any way, whether it's school teacher, a youth minister, or whatever, just really understand these are souls that are being formed for all of eternity, and that responsibility that you have is really tremendous.
It is, and I think it's bullying is can be overwhelming because it's happening subtly and it's also overtly happening, and then now you have cyberbullying. And so, Sylvia, it's a difficult thing, but what you instilled in your children, I wrote down the three things that you instilled in your children, and I think that just it helps because it gives them that foundation, something to go back to, something to grasp onto when they go out into the world and they know how to survive the world. I mean, kids can be brutal to one another. They really can. And it broke my heart when you said that the first thing they did is that they attacked your daughter's looks. That's what all bullies do. They attack the looks. I was attacked. I was made fun of because I had curly dark hair. And they would make fun of me and all. I mean, that's the first thing that bullies do is attack the physical.
But it's all superficial.
Yes. Yes.
Sylvia, would you be so kind as to repeat those three things that you instilled in your children? I thought those were great, and those are worth hearing for all of our listeners again.
Yes, I'd love to. Number one, I instill in them that they are beautiful. Never, ever put yourself down. And I go in debt, no matter how hard school is, you can handle this. You're beautiful. God believes in you. Just like He created everything in His own special image, He created you too. And you can accomplish anything in this world because He believes in you and He loves you. And it's a relationship that He has with you intimately. It's in your spirit that He guides you throughout your day. Second rule is make sure if you have a question in life, you need an answer. Ask someone that you truly believe that can give you that answer. If you can't, really search to your priest. They're really there for us. They're there to guide us. They are first call, you know, for us to go and get help and guidance. Third one, always make sure that you do something good for somebody. Say good morning. Say I love you. Say I'll see you. Pick something up. Close the door. Something nice and simple. You teach the child now. Go do something big and great later on as they get older. So those are the three things
beautiful.
That I instill in my children because I love them and believe in them. They're a gift to me.
Well, you can tell you love them. You're a great mom, and we just want to thank you again for repeating them for everybody to hear. And I hope others have written them down like we did and can start using them in our homes. Thank you, Sylvia. God bless you. Your daughter's
thank
brilliant.
You.
Yeah,
your
daughter's brilliant.
Thanks, Sylvia.
And she's got a great future ahead. So that's great.
833-288-EWTN. Talking about a difficult topic today, bullying, trying to get behind the bullies. Debbie has some more data that she has uncovered, but we want to certainly get to your calls as well. If you want to join us, if you have an experience with one of your children, maybe your own experience, like Eddie shared when he was growing up, or maybe as an adult, maybe you've got a neighbor who just kind of hassles you a lot or something, and you're just not quite sure how to deal with that. Or perhaps you've got some suggestions, recommendations, you know, about how we can better get a handle on this and eliminate this scourge from our society. 833-288-EWTN. All right, Lillian, you're right after Lori. Lori's in Washington State, also listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lori. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. How are you this morning?
I am doing fine this morning. I wanted to share that I was bullied yesterday. I'm a sidewalk advocate and a leader here for 40 Days for Life. And I had a fellow stop yesterday who bullied me. Now, I'm 5'1", and he was about 5'8". And he literally just was yelling at me, calling me names. And after everything was over, actually, I ended up having to go to the ER because after the adrenaline rush, it kind of put my blood pressure over the edge. I'm fine, but I was thinking, I've been praying about it, and I'm praying for him. I think the biggest issue that's going on with bullying is that people are not taught to respect other people, just generally. There's no respect for other people, for their opinions, for anything else. And when people are hurt and angry, and it was obviously this fellow was hurt, and probably by abortion, because I'm standing here in front of the Planned Parenthood, I believe that if people don't respect life from the beginning and don't understand that we all have a right to have our own opinions and have our own life, then that's what started it all. And I believe it's just been more and more illustrated by what you see on the news. You see these terrible women's march and these other things, like even the 17-minute walkout yesterday, which had just, it's so political. Instead of being caring about what happened, it seems like we are being bullied into that. Not only that, but Christianity itself seems to be hugely attacked, and that's what this fellow was doing. He was attacking my faith.
Well, Lori, hold that thought right there, because this you're raising something that, I mean, we talk about this being a problem for young people, Debbie. It's a problem for big people, too, and we'll continue with Lori in just a minute from the L.A. Religious Ed Congress.
There's more Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, live from the 2018 Los Angeles Religious Education Conference on EWTN Radio.
This is a Lenten Journey with Timothy Cardinal Dolan on EWTN Radio.
We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. We're at another one of those sacred Fridays during the Lenten season, everybody. Listen to the beautiful remarks in the Book of Wisdom in our first reading for this Friday of the fourth week of Lent at Mass. They knew not the hidden counsels of God. They knew not the hidden counsels of God. God always has a secret plan for us. It might take a while, but God's ways are always vindicated. God will always have the last word. And we need to remember that when everything seems like Good Friday afternoon. God will have the final say.
A Lenten Journey with Timothy Cardinal Dolan is available on DVD through the EWTN Religious Catalog. This DVD includes all 47 segments for each day of Lent, from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. To get your copy, log on to our website, EWTNReligiousCatalog.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Post your intentions on the prayer wall on Jerry and Debbie's website. To get there, just click on the bright yellow J&D logo at take2show.com. Jerry and Debbie personally reply to every prayer intention that's posted. Others will also offer you their prayer support. When there's something important you want prayers for, post it on the prayer wall on Jerry and Debbie's site. Visit take2show.com. Click on the J&D logo today.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Later today on Catholic Answers Live, join us from the floor of the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress when our guests will be Father Mike Schmitz and Father Hugh Barber. Catholic Answers Live from the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress, 6 p.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now back to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is live from the 2018 Los Angeles Religious Education Conference on EWTN Radio.
We're talking about bullying today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. If you want to get in on this conversation, please call in right now at 1-833-288-3986. We're talking to Lori in Washington State, who was bullied yesterday. And Lori, I'm glad you gave us a visual of it, that you're 5'1". This man bullied you, who's 5'8", taller than you, and you made a comment, Lori. You said about having no respect. I just wanted to share something that's very interesting. In the research we did on this, on the getting behind what motivates bullies to actually go out there and do the destructive behavior, one of the things is, interestingly enough, is that the bullies, when they have been studied and talked to, they lack kindness, compassion, and respect. Wow.
Yeah.
And exactly what happened to you yesterday. Jerry, how can we, and Lori, how can we change this? I mean, this should be a simple fix. To teach kindness, compassion, and respect, this should be a simple thing, but why is it so difficult? Lori, you go first.
Well, I really think that the issue is that the golden rule is not in school anymore, because that's God's rule. When we take God out of the situation and you allow people to be bullied because of their opinions, their religious beliefs, and their looks, everything. I mean, and it is allowed. It's actually, it's not taught. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I believe what's happened is that the younger generations, and this guy was probably around 30 and I'm almost 70, that this guy just had no respect for his elders, number one. I mean, when I grew up, we absolutely had respect for authority. But nowadays, authority is not looked at. And I believe that's because we've taken God out of the situation, because God, of course, is the ultimate authority. And when you reject that, then there is no reason to respect anyone else. It's all about you. And, of course, the narcissism that's happening in the people now, that their opinion is the only opinion that matters, is why they feel it's okay to bully people.
Great, great points, Lori. And you know, you talk about authority, and we don't see this in authority. And we can look at the very, very top, if you will. How many people accuse President Trump of bullying? Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, President Obama bullied. He bullied the Little Sisters of the Poor. Are you kidding me? Trying to, you know, bully a bunch of, you know, poor little religiouses. So, I mean, if it's happening at the top, and this is not a partisan statement or anything, but we see it in our society. But, Debbie, the bottom line, what Lori pointed to, is if you take God out of a situation, guess who's going to rush in?
Satan.
Yeah.
That's
so
simple.
I mean, so this really is, yep, is much part of a much bigger problem. We've,
yep,
got to get back to civility and faith. And teaching virtue and character. And thanks be to God, a lot of great things are going on in the Catholic Church to do that.
And I just want to say real quickly, Lori, when you shared that you're 70 years old and this person was 30 years old, that just made my stomach go into knots. I'm sorry you were not given the respect that you deserve for living 70 beautiful years on this earth. I apologize on behalf of this person who did this to you, because that was just wrong. Flat out wrong. So, Lori, I'm sorry you had to go through that, but you know, keep going, stay strong, because you're doing great work out there in the community, and we need more Loris out there. So, thank you.
I just want to say one more thing. One of the things that I think, because I have God in my life, after this incident, I've been praying for that guy all night long, and I've forgiven him. But on the other hand, I am not forgetting. And I'm planning to press charges. Well, I had four sheriff's officers here to my rescue, and I ended up being transported by an aid car and to the hospital. I was fine. I was there a couple of hours just to get my blood pressure down a little bit.
Wow.
But I thought in the end, you know, God is in control, because they didn't do any business here yesterday afternoon with four sheriffs here and an aid car. So God is good. God is so good. And I feel protected by him. Don't worry about me. But thank you for your thoughts and your apology. But I believe that things happen because God wants us to rise above these occasions. I mean, it was scary. I was, you know, in a lot of sense very frightened by this. But I didn't feel that my life was in danger, but I did feel I needed to call 911, and I'm the kind of person that doesn't do that. But I found out too that in your weakness, that's when you're strongest, because that's when you have God with you.
That's right. And Lori, in your weakness and God's strength, you were inspired to pray for this young man, and we'll do that too.
Yeah,
let's ask
I'll
the whole
Take
Two family.
Sure.
This is a soul created in the image and likeness of God, whom God loves unconditionally, and there is great, great hope for everyone. He's just got maybe a few little issues that are causing this kind of behavior, but you know what? That could be turned around by the grace of God, and Lori, your prayer is going to be very powerful
Absolutely.
In that. So
thank you, Lori. God bless you. We're glad that you are well. Okay, next up is Lillian in Florida, listening on the iCatholic radio app. Hi, Lillian. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
No, thank you for having me. So my situation, my son is pretty young. He's 5 in the class that he's in. He's the oldest, so a lot of them are 4-year-olds. And my question is, so with children that young, most recently, it's only been for about a couple weeks now, a friend of his is the one that's bullying him, and so he'll apologize and they'll be friends again, but it just continues, and it's gotten to the point where my son will defend him. He won't tell me what's going on. And even when the teacher asks and she sees it, she'll say, no, he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So how do I help my son, and how do we handle those kind of situations where it does seem like bullying, but even the school itself is telling me, you know, there's not really a problem here because they're still friends and they're doing it out of, you know, playing. But it's kicking and pinching and kissing on the, you know, trying to kiss my son on the mouth and pushing him down. And mm-hmm. and my son will, you know, he even made him a card saying, you did good today. I'm so proud of you because you weren't mean to me today. Mm. And so my heart is like, I don't even know what to say to him or the school. So you guys have any advice?
I raised kids. I'm a grandmother now. I was a religious education coordinator for over 25 years. So I saw this on a continual basis. I will tell you, I'm very, very very hard-lined about this, and I'll tell you why I say this. I think that if you are getting signals of this now, it could potentially only get worse because it snowballs. And so I'm always a firm believer to stop, nip it right at the beginning. Stop it right now. So here's what I did when things like this happened in my religious education classes or in at home or in the community is I went right to the parents and I just let them know right up front. And I would tell the parents all the time, I would say, listen, I'm just going to let you know this. This kid likes your son and it seems like they have a great relationship, but I noticed that the chemistry between them is a little odd, you know, the pinching, the kicking, the this, the that. It's just a little off. And I would just say, and parents would come back to me and say, I didn't even know that. I didn't know that was happening. And what I would say is, listen, here's the deal. If you want these kids to remain friends, then help to work. Let's work together and help them remain friends. If you go and just, you know, punish your child or discipline your child, that's going to make him just act out more to this other kid. So it's not going to help their friendship. It's going to ruin their friendship. And a lot of parents, I will tell you, parents want to work together. We want to help each other parent. And I don't know if that's even an option for you, Lillian, but have you thought about talking to the other parent?
I spoke to the school yesterday and I asked, you know, if it would be okay. I already, you know her outside of school, so I didn't want to contact her without mentioning it to them. But she actually ended up, you know, messaging me yesterday and we potentially will be getting together this weekend to try to see if how we can help the situation. But they're aware of it and the child is very active and with mm-hmm. all the kids. I mean, my son is like probably his best friend, so the actions are much stronger and more common with him. The child himself just seems to be, I mean, they're aware of the issue is what I mean. So, but yeah, I am trying to help, you know, sit down with the parent and try to see if we can help them become, you know, better friends together and work through this. Because they both of them enjoy the friendship, but my son doesn't know how to stand up for himself anymore.
Lillian, that's going to chip away at his self-esteem. See, because he's trying to make this kid, you know, be nicer to him. Like him. And even sending the card saying you weren't mean to me today. To me, I think that's problematic right there. I mean, this kid should be nice to your son no matter what. I mean, your son should not have to reward him for not being mean. You know, do you see where I'm going with that, Jerry?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I'm deriving from this, Lillian, and you know, maybe you've thought about this, Debbie, perhaps you as well. it just shows that, you know, there could be a fine line between kids kind of just, you know, having fun with one another and bullying. There is, it does sound like there's some crossing of lines going on. I mean, trying to kiss him on the lips and stuff like that. But at the same time, maybe the, you know, the pinching or the other stuff. I mean, it could just be the other child just kind of wanting to gain
attention.
Yeah, the attention and the acceptance and the affirmation. So anyway, Lillian, that's about the best we can do
with
that.
We'll be praying.
Yeah, not being, you know, counselors or therapists, but Debbie with her life experience that you shared. Debbie, that was very, very helpful. Lillian, thank you. We'll be definitely praying for that intention.
Keep us posted, Lillian.
Yeah, by the way, EWTN is a full, we're here on the exhibit floor of the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. People wafting by in front of us here waving. So many people pointing up at the EWTN sign saying, we love EWTN.
Yeah.
And coming up a little bit later on today at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, called to communion. Debbie, that is...
I love that.
That is... very possibly the most popular and listened to show
it's
on EWTN Radio.
Oh, I know. And that's at 2 p.m. Eastern?
2 p.m. Eastern time.
And then don't let me forget, Jerry, I've got to see the Catholic Answers live because Father Mike's going to be on.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be great as well. So many priests and religious. It's just amazing. The biggest gathering of Catholics in the U.S. Wow. One quick thing, Jerry, before we go back to the phones, I just wanted to share real quickly is that... social bullies have a poor self-esteem and manipulate others through gossip and being mean. We're talking about this cyberbullying. So they have a poor self-esteem. You know, we have to get to the root of it. If they have a poor self-esteem, they are apt to be bullies. So we have to really help our children, I think, to really build up and empower them to have a good, healthy sense of themselves and know that they can be confident going out into the world, because we don't want them with low self-esteem going out there because they could potentially be bullies.
Back to your calls, talking about getting behind bullying today. We're having some great, I think some very, very insightful and helpful calls on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. If you'd like to join us, 1-833-288-EWTN. North Dakota is our next stop. Doris, listening to the program on Real Presence Radio. Hello, Doris. We're glad to have you with us. Welcome.
Hello. My sister was bullied throughout school, throughout the years that she was in school. And one situation happened. She was in high school, and a teacher had to leave the room. And he came back, and he heard that she was getting bullied. He was so angry. He put a hole. He hit a table and put a hole in that table. And throughout the years that he taught, he told the story. And no other children were bullied in that classroom. But the other kid, years later, my friend came. We had a school reunion, and she was praying over my sister. And my sister forgave these people, and she, one by one, in order that she forgave, they came up and apologized to her.
Wow. Mm. What a gift.
And the situation with some of these kids that do that is alcohol and abuse in the homes. They learn it at a very young age.
Well, Doris, that's in the research Jerry and I did, it actually says that. That's a learned behavior, and it can be unlearned. And it's if it's learned in the home for some reason, kids go out, we have to retrain them somehow. Now, we don't want them to get bullied, and that's the way that they learn, because that's just as like a vicious cycle that can keep happening. We want to start at the beginning and really help kids to realize that when they go out there, there's power in their words, there's power in their actions, and it's very, very important. And their words and their actions can either be affirming or they can be very, very destructive, especially to the soul. And you know what, Doris, I think my heart breaks for your sister, but it sounds like it came full circle, and she somewhat felt better about, you know, how it all ended up with the apologies and everything. But I can't even imagine what your sister went through, because it's hard enough to get through school, and to have that as an added layer, I just can't even imagine. So my heart goes out to her.
Well, how few people get that opportunity for, I guess, the apologies, to offer forgiveness, and the closure. So Doris, it sounds like things turned out pretty well for your sister then, would you say?
It still affects her
emotionally.
She's got a low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Well, wow. She'll be in our prayers. Yes. And Doris, it sounds like you're a great sister, and you care a lot for her. And
yeah.
So, yeah, definitely, everybody, let's just get the Take Two family praying for Doris' sister and for Doris and for
all family.
Anybody who's been negatively impacted by this.
I agree. We'll do that, Doris. Thank you so much for your call today. It really helped to shape the discussion, and we appreciate it. Okay. Do you know what? Can I just say something real quick about the Catholic news agency,
sure.
CNA? It's the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source. And what's really cool about it, Jerry, is it brings all the neatest blogs and stories and opinions, and it's right at our fingertips. That's what's so cool about CNA, Catholic News Agency. So for the latest in Catholic news, please visit CatholicNewsAgency.com. It's an online service from EWTN News, so you know it's going to be just a great resource for you.
All right, back to your calls. Thank you all for waiting patiently. We'll make our way to as many of you as we can as we're in the final about a quarter of the broadcast today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Cammy, thanks for waiting. Listening in Washington to Take Two. Hi, Cammy. Thanks for being on the line there and for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to give a message to those of us who have been bullied. Jesus loves us. He loves us and he loves the bully. I've been bullied. Excuse me. Don't get emotional. I've been bullied most of my life. Became a Catholic. Thank you, EWTN, for your ministry, because that's what the Lord used. But when I became a Catholic, I was blessed to work in a Catholic school as a teacher. And one of the teachers just targeted me. I mean, the most beautiful teacher you'd ever see. So talented. I admired her, wanted her friendship. But, you know, we were busy. I didn't, like, tag along with after her. First day of school, she walks in, beautiful smile, closes my door and starts yelling at me, putting me down, turns around, walks away, and I'm just floored. And I got to teach the rest of the day. It went on for the year. I reached out to her, I prayed for her, talked to my priest, good forgiveness. You know, I wanted to forgive this situation. And I knew it would be bad for our school to have that any animosity. So I reached out. We'd be acquainted again, and then she'd warn me again. It was just really strange. And the problem was, people knew it. She was enabled. But she's just a beautiful woman. Very confusing situation. Come to find out, I wasn't her only target. But in the meantime, she did destroy some friendships, and eventually I left, but not because of her, but she made it easier to leave. So, in a way, I don't know what to say to that. It's just been, I do pray for her.
Well, wait, let me just ask you a quick question, Cammy. You said twice she was a beautiful person. Are you saying that she was physically attractive? Because she obviously wasn't beautiful on the inside from that
exactly.
action.
Physically attractive.
Okay.
A smile that would melt anybody's heart.
Okay.
And so talented. So it's like, why waste your time on me? I just want to do my work and be here and make a difference for the kingdom.
Right. Right. Well, looks can be deceiving, and obviously she had a lot of her own low self-esteem, because based on what the research we've done, when bullies go out there, they have their own issues that they're trying to feed for them. There's a fix there. So she either needed attention, she either needed to overpower someone else to feel better, she either needed to put down someone else because she felt for some reason she didn't feel good enough. So I don't know what the issue is, but I will pray for her as well, because I'll tell you what, that can be really deceptive, because when you see somebody that, you know, physically looks pleasing to the eye, you're thinking, oh, this is a person that's, you know, seems happy and nice and cool, and then it turns out that they're really not. Their actions don't meet up with their exterior looks. I really think that can be problematic too as well, Jerry, because that keeps people, you know, they don't know how to react.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Cammy said, she's a beautiful person. And well, you know, everyone's a beautiful person who just unfortunately does some unfortunate, ugly things once in a while. We all do that.
Right.
And like you said, it's really kind of I think maybe bullies are often trying to compensate, like you said, mm-hmm. for their own wounds or injuries mm-hmm. or low self-esteem or what have you. So, Cammy, bless you. We're going to pray for you. Thanks for joining us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We appreciate that. Going to go to South Texas next, and Derek is listening on Guadalupe Radio to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Derek. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hi, Derek. You're on the air. Go for it, man.
Oh, hi.
Welcome.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. This is the first time I've really been on the radio, so.
Good.
But
good
yeah,
to have you.
Yeah, so, like I was saying earlier, to be honest, you know, a little about myself, you know, I'm actually atheist. I don't believe in God. I was really just channel surfing, and I picked up on the bullying.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my own son, he goes through quite a bit of bullying, but just because of his, he has epilepsy, so it's real hard for him to stay calm a lot, you know, and a few mood swings here and there because of his seizures, and kids at his old school kind of, I guess, kind of grew with it and was understandable, but kids at his new school are, you know, pretty intolerant of it, and he's been, you know, not, for lack of a better word, assaulted, you know, for a few, you know, a few of the incidences and whatnot, and I mean, I understand a lot of things are two-way streets, you know, he can, you know, he's got medication, but you know, kids on the other hand, you know, they, what I've seen really is that, you know, it's such a hard, I mean, even though it's just a word, respect, it's so hard for any one person to put one definition to it, not alone, and then on top of that, teach that to every child.
To others, yeah. Derek, first of all, we're getting... Derek, real quickly, we're going to get ready to close the show, but I want to just share a couple things. You said you were channel surfing, and you happened to just flip on to EWTN and hear the topic of bullying. We hope you continue to listen to the show, because we really address the topics that affect all of us as parents and in our communities. And I know you stated up front that you're an atheist, and I understand that. But the things that we can offer on EWTN may speak to your heart someday. So I just wanted to present that invitation to you to continue to listen to EWTN, especially Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, because we'd love for you to call in again. You said it was a first-time call, and we don't want you to be a stranger. But Derek, real quickly, I just wanted to share with your son having epilepsy. I think sometimes that when you said the kids aren't accepting or tolerant, and I think it comes out of ignorance. They need to understand what your son has to go through on a daily basis. You can tap into kids' compassion. You can tap into kids' hearts if you would explain to them what it's like. And the education you can give them through your son, or have your son do it as well, and share what he has to go through, you'll reach those kids that have a deep heart. I know that because I've seen it happen. I used to encourage families to bring their kids in who had special challenges, and to explain it, to actually give a teaching, a whole class on it. And at the end of the class, so many kids would walk up and hug that student and say, I didn't know you had to deal with this. I didn't know you had to go through this. I don't know if that's an option, Derek, but I just wanted to put it out there.
What do you think, Derek?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's absolutely great. And, you know, that's one of the things that... We've done similar things like that before, and we're actually looking at the homeschool route here soon if, you know, things don't kind of turn around a little bit, but
right.
Well, Derek, yeah, that might be a good option, but I'll tell you what, as you can, I'm sure, imagine, we are, like you said, a religious network. We're a Catholic network. So you stated, like Debbie said, that you're an atheist. We respect that. We understand that. We welcome you right where you are. We hope that you will keep listening. You know what our belief is, and that is that there is a God, and he creates everybody for a specific purpose. He created you out of love, Derek, and you've got a wonderful, loving father's heart. We can hear that.
Absolutely.
And he created your son, who is a tremendous gift to you and to the world. So, Derek, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Debbie Merlin and Suzette and the others we're just not going to get to, but we're back tomorrow.
We are back tomorrow. We're still broadcasting live on the conference floor, so we hope you join us. You can hear all the commotion behind us. We're going to take off our mics and go visit some of the priests and sisters that are visiting the EWTN booth. But tomorrow we're going to talk about the fallout from divorce, Jerry. It's going to be another very deep subject.
Yeah, please join us for that. We hope that you will. The Doctor Is In coming up next here on EWTN Radio. Thanks to Tom and Mike and Rich and Matt and Jeff and Elena and Deborah and everybody. God bless you. We pray that you have a beautiful and blessed day. Debbie and I will talk to you tomorrow.